What's up, you guys? Sean Ross at for the Fightful Backstage Report podcast for February 19th, 2024. Let's go ahead and get right into it. Drew McIntyre, his contract still up soon. Ahead of last year's WrestleMania, Fightful Select reported that Drew McIntyre's WWE deal was up ahead of WrestleMania 40 and that Drew was operating on the possibility that 2023 could be his last WrestleMania. That will not be the case. WWE sources have confirmed the obvious. He's scheduled for WrestleMania. Fightful Select has confirmed that McIntyre's deal now extends past WrestleMania, and some of that injury and inactivity time was added to the deal in order to get it there. Drew McIntyre has been one of the hottest characters in wrestling. He's reached a bit of a new high, and he's right back in the top title picture. Like, he's a guy that people are looking at and saying he could be the World Heavyweight Champion, and his work has been incredible. His social media game has been incredible. I'm told that they have had some conversations, and it appears they want to get a deal done. However, they also claim that one isn't in place, and nothing has changed on that front. Sources in WWE indicated that McIntyre was well-respected in the company, both by talent and staff for his work, as well as media and for his community event schedule and all that stuff that he does. A name going back to AEW, QT Marshall. In some capacity, Fightful learned that QT Marshall is returning to AEW, but in a much different role than he had before. Sources indicated to Fightful that Marshall and AEW worked out their prior issues as far back as January, and he'll be coming back in the VP role he once held. Now, I don't know if it'll be the same exact role, but what I do know is that as of now, he is not planned to return as an in-ring talent. Those that we spoke to said that an agreement was in place, even ahead of the Royal Rumble. He has not started back with the company as of yet. He hasn't been backstage or anything like that. We're told that Marshall is free to wrestle outside of AEW with the exception of WWE. The 38-year-old had not wrestled since his AEW officially ended on December 31st until this past week's Turnbuckle Championship Wrestling show. Now, that show was interesting because it is a Dusty Rhodes creation that both QT Marshall and Teal Rhodes, the daughter of Dusty and sister of Cody and Dustin, brought back. It had Aaron Solo, Glacier, Scotty Riggs, Matt Cardona on it in McDonough, Georgia. And man, QT looked incredible. He had an unbelievable physical transformation. This dude looks great. He's putting in all the work that he possibly can for that. But man, just good for him. He's back in AEW. He's going to continue to wrestle outside of AEW. And it's very clear that he still has a passion there. Scott D'Amore is not back in TNA. He is out as TNA president, but he did try to hang on. Fightful learned that although the news was a shock to many, including the roster, the wheels were in motion for Scott D'Amore's termination a month prior. D'Amore adamantly did not want to leave TNA, although Anthem had stated that they wished to present it as a mutual departure. So D'Amore was insistent that the two sides did not refer to it as a decision, as his decision to leave or a mutual departure, and there are definite reasons for that. In Ontario, it has some of the stricter regulations as far as employer employment laws and all that, and D'Amore's unemployment or possible severance could have been tied to him saying that the departure was mutual. And obviously, if they're going to boot you out, you are going to want to get whatever you can out of that place. There were talent who were claimed that it was relayed to them that D'Amore stepped down, but that was not true in any capacity. There was correspondence between these two sides to aid in the transition to new president Anthony Ciccione into the role. We're told that D'Amore had spoken highly of Ciccione, but was reiterated that he did not want to leave the role. A couple of weeks after his termination became evident, D'Amore made efforts to buy TNA. So you guys know this timeline. It was early January that I know of when D'Amore was informed, at least as of then, that he would be terminated. They were working on a bit of a transition, and a couple weeks later, really around the time that he was working out a deal to send Jordynne Grace to WWE for the Royal Rumble, I mean like 2 days before she appeared at the Royal Rumble, he was making efforts to buy TNA Wrestling. Those attempts were outright rejected. The Anthem didn't have any real desire to sell, or at least according to their correspondence. Now, there were some elements of reports that that Braun Strowman and them not being able to land Braun Strowman may have led to some lack of confidence in Scott. I'm told they negotiated and even discussed creative like 3 years ago, but we're told it was far from a seven-figure deal as rumored. There was also made about the increase in budget and production upgrades coming to TNA, but sources that we've heard from within Anthem claim that many of those are actually related to software upgrades compared to anything else. The schedule for TNA looks to be the same this year, but word is they wanted to reduce some of the cost compared to 2023. Now, last week, there were several TNA talent that had signed off on a letter to Anthem expressing their frustration that Scott D'Amore was pushed out of TNA. We did obtain it. The full letter is available on the website and Fightful Select. Now, there were some wrestlers that said that they weren't exactly happy that this made it out and all that, but also, we made sure to say several. It wasn't like a company-wide thing. Not everybody was in on it, but they highlighted Scott D'Amore's departure and said that they saw him as family and talked about his guidance and how they trusted him as a confidant, teacher, advisor, brother, and many others. And also spoke highly about Leonard Asper and Anthem helping build the company back from the ground up. The letter is very, very extensive. It is at least a wonderful endorsement of Scott D'Amore by several talent. And it's basically the TNA roster, many of them, wanting to have a conversation with Anthem about the way that the company's going to go, and hopefully for them, at least, they are hoping to get Scott back in that role. I don't see that happening. I think that they're not going to be able to put the toothpaste back into the tube in that sense. But, yeah, it's a situation which definitely affected a lot of talent there. AEW news and notes. Julia Hart has been out of action for nearly a month since defeating Anna Jay at AEW Battle of the Belts. I don't know the particular injury she's been dealing with, but she's not expected to be cleared this month, that being February. But I'm told it's not expected to be a long-term injury. There are some plans for her, but she's got to be medically cleared. Also, Wheeler Yuta's absence has been noticed by many. The ROH Pure Champion has been dealing with an injury, which is why he's been off TV. He has advertised for a match alongside BCC in CMLL on March 29th. Obviously, TBS title stuff has been on hold as well with Julia sidelined. Jeff Hardy, Fightful, had reported that he had a broken nose. They were hoping he didn't have a concussion. I don't have an update necessarily on that. Nick Comoroto, people asking where he has been. He has not been wrestling on TV. He was at TV, I want to say, a month ago in Norfolk, I believe it was. He was backstage visiting. I don't think that he was planned or anything for the show. He did wrestle a show in New Jersey, Skid Row Pro Wrestling, I want to say about a month ago, maybe 3-4 weeks ago. So he's in the ring there at least. But other than that, he had not wrestled since October for ROH. Yuka Sakazaki had made some headlines as she was removed from the AEW website before being added back to it. We're told she hasn't been around necessarily as much since December. She had been fighting an injury and then came back to the ring, but not for AEW. There were some ideas tossed around for her outside the ring last year as well, but haven't heard a particular update on whether she could be back or when she's coming back or anything like that. Steve Macklin, Joel Pearl spoke with him in Las Vegas, said that he was really excited for the Nick Nemeth program, and said that he went through a lot of the same things that Nick Nemeth did. He wanted to move on from Steve Cutler to Steve Macklin, says that TNA is his home, and people may joke about it, but said that TNA is his sandbox, and that's what they called it when he served in Afghanistan and Iraq. Now, it's interesting. He says that is his home. A story we're breaking today here on Fightful Select. His contract is actually up in May. He signed a multi-year deal with TNA, and it was announced on June 3rd, 2021, that he had signed a contract with Impact. So that has come up about 3 years. It's going to be interesting to see where he lands. He is 36. He'll be 37 when the deal is up, with just an incredible amount of experience in WWE. He spent 7 years in that system. He's very familiar with it. Now, right now, he's going to be wanted for his in-ring presence, but down the line, he is going to be a guy that is also wanted for his wrestling brain because he's got an awful big wrestling brain, a big student of the game, and overall, just a good guy. Shotzi, unfortunately, suffered a knee injury. Corey Brennan did a lot of great reporting on this. He was able to confirm that she was not able to place weight on her knee, was forced to hop to the back with the assistance of WWE's medical team, and it was apparent that she was in an awful lot of pain. Officials backstage were said to have been very concerned about her, and she was immediately taken for medical evaluation. It was described as a freak accident, and we hope that she gets better soon. I spoke to Akira Tozawa. He talked about how he was 240 pounds. He's down to 155. Said it's been about 10 years. Says he goes to the gym every day, eats clean, does not have any bad cheat meals, but mentioned having good cheat meals. He said that he had good memories of the 24/7 title, that he loved the ninja gimmick. He talked about the World Baseball Classic, all that good stuff as well. He says that he's been in WWE for 7 years and then says that he still feels like a kid. Fightful also spoke to Montez Ford and Bianca Belair. She said that the pregnancy rumors were by far the weirdest rumors that she has ever seen. And we talked about Montez Ford, how he uses Twitter. He does it the right way. He posts and then just gets off of it. And Bianca barely uses it at all. She said that another weird rumor was the one about Becky Lynch and makeup being on her body from the hair whip. But she says it wasn't. It was just an actual scar from the hair attack. They also talked about the media schedule for Love and WWE and said there was a lot of attempts to get eyes and ears on the show outside of the wrestling bubble. Obviously, they still want an audience within the wrestling bubble, but they're also hoping to capture some casual fans that only know wrestling as, you know, clotheslines and bumps and all that stuff, and get some people interested in it as well. Montez Ford told us that his goals for WrestleMania in the future include winning the World Heavyweight Championship at WrestleMania, teaming with Bianca Belair, and main eventing the show. Fightful spoke to Masha Slamovich for In the Weeds. She talked about the Jersey J Cup and GCW, said that Scott D'Amore was a great leader for TNA. He took chances on a lot of talent, international and domestic. Talked about MK Ultra, said it happened spontaneously, and she's really happy with her work along with Killer Kelly. She also talked about her Monsters Ball match and said it was one of the most violent and entertaining matches during her time in TNA. She wants to return to Tokyo Joshi Pro sooner rather than later and wants to run a TNA show at the Sphere in Las Vegas. Programming note, no Raw plans for this Monday. However, we will have stuff for Friday SmackDown, Elimination Chamber, and the like. Also, a reminder, NXT taped this past week. Stu Grayson, he's still under AEW contract. According to those we spoke to, we weren't given a reason for his absence. There's a free fan and press event Friday, local time in Perth. Fightful will have a presence in Perth. We got Anna Bauert rejoining in order to do some media there as well. We've confirmed that the plan has long been for Will Ospreay to wrestle at Revolution before that was announced by Don Callis. We can also confirm Wrestling Observer's report that Rocky Romero has joined the AEW front office. He was around semi-regularly even prior. One thing that we do have to clarify, though, AEW sources told us that there were some misconceptions regarding their partnership with CMLL. It was reported Friday that a part of the deal between CMLL and AEW was that on any television show that their talent appears on, no other Mexican wrestlers could appear. Didn't matter if they worked for AAA or not, did in the past, no other Mexican wrestlers could appear, was the report elsewhere. AEW sources said that was outright false. They pointed to Commander appearing on the January 31st episode of Dynamite when the group from CMLL appeared, and beyond that, Penta was also scheduled to appear on AEW programming this week, but ended up running into travel issues. It was stated to Fightful that CMLL talent is not supposed to be booked in angles or matches with AAA talent. Fightful's In the Weeds spoke to Billy Starks. Great interview. Good time. Talked about the Jersey J Cup. Talked about her pitching ROH to let her use Aliens Exist by Blink-182. Everyone tells her it's a great idea, but it never happens. A lot of really great info in this interview with In the Weeds. They are doing such incredible work over there right now. But check it out, guys. I mean, she talks about the TV title tournament. She talks about the J Cup, about Lexi Nair, about the possibility of Mercedes arriving in AEW, and said that she's excited to share the ring with Mercedes if it is true. So a lot of great stuff there. Some not so great stuff in our update on Vince McMahon, John Laurinaitis, and WWE. A reminder, we're going to keep reminding you, we are not going to stop covering this. We're working with additional mainstream media outlets in regards to unnamed executives that are being heavily speculated on. That remains a mystery to many in WWE as well. However, one source in the WWE said they are of the belief that one had been long gone from WWE. John Laurinaitis has been outspoken via his attorney, which at least one source said they saw coming. That longtime WWE employee said that they looked at Laurinaitis as McMahon's fall guy since the summer of 2022, but figured he had some sort of golden parachute that took care of him financially. However, the source said that the looming possibility of actual charges being filed is what many saw the turning point of Laurinaitis on McMahon. Another source said, I'm sure he thinks he's doing himself some favors by saying management knew and proper protocols were followed, but too many things there happened under his watch. Now, the late Ashley Massaro was in the headlines this past week due to a Vice article. Fightful had been in contact with Ashley Massaro in March of 2019 to set up an interview in Las Vegas that May at StarCast 2. Massaro was hoping to talk about her plans to resume in-ring training and said that she was weighing whether or not to open up further about her claims of sexual assault while on a WWE Tribute to the Troops tour. Unfortunately, Massaro passed away just 2 weeks prior to StarCast. Based on the talent that we've spoken to, they've not been briefed or told they can't speak about the nature of the lawsuit in interviews or appearances, and several have been asked about it. While we've heard so far that no other companies have actively been participating in the investigations, we've heard that talent from other U.S.-based companies have been given the green light to speak about issues or participate in the investigations if they feel comfortable doing so. We've spoken to one former talent who has indicated to us that they are weighing the options whether or not to tell their story via the media or whether or not they wanted to take legal action. We will not provide their identity unless they approve of such. Now, there was news today of a law firm that was basically soliciting people who had been potentially harmed or abused or harassed within WWE. There have been like targeted ads taken out on Instagram and Facebook for people in the wrestling business to try to conjure up some people in what looks like, you know, possibly could be class action or something of that sort. We don't have a lot of details on that, but we're going to work to get more, obviously. Guys, thank you all so much for being here on FightfulSelect.com. We're headed towards a great couple of weeks with Elimination Chamber and Revolution. Hope that I see you there at Revolution. We'll not be making the trip to Perth, but Anna lives there, so she's got you covered. Lots of great stuff. Until next time, we're out.